help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 48, verse 1, 2, and 7. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1, 2, and 7 of 48. The scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in Philippians chapter 3. But first, let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, only true eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things and upholds all things, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou who changes not, thou who art that almighty covenant, faithful Jehovah, thou who art that one in whom there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners, thou who hast sent thy only begotten beloved Son into this sin-cursed world to come to fulfill thy precious law for transgressors, to come in the flesh to have a body, as we heard in this morning, to be broken, to shed his blood, to give himself as a sacrifice to satisfy the justice of God. And Lord, then in this evening there is a reflection time, a reflection sermon for the whole congregation. Oh, we beg and bless thee, as we beg and ask thee, Lord, as we have gathered together, as thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered in thy name, thou shalt be in the midst. Lord, come, work mightily and irresistibly by thy word and by thy spirit. O Lord, we beg thee, thou knowest how it is in the hearts of each one in the whole congregation, of everyone who attended, and also those who did not attend. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, thy word is profitable for all things, for correction, for instruction. And oh, how thy people need instruction, continual instruction on that narrow pathway that leadeth unto thee, but also comfort. Oh, may there have been comfort under thy wings in this morning. May it have been in the preaching, in the hearing of thy word. Lord, remember those who had a desire and who knew they needed to attend, but because of circumstances they were unable. Lord, thou art that almighty, faithful God. Oh, wilt thou give yet a blessing? A blessing that no man can give and that they need from thee. O Lord, thou knowest also that roaring lion, Satan, who likes to assault, who likes to attack thy dear people. O cast them out, bind them up, Lord, and may there be that looking unto thee, thou who knowest all things, thou who art that faithful, merciful God, unto unworthy sinners through the merits of thy dear Son. Oh, what a wonder that thou hast proclaimed with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with thee. Lord, we have left thee never to return. We have turned our backs unto thee. We have given that we have come willingly under the dominion and the power of Satan, unable and unwilling to deliver ourselves. But thou hast come. Thou hast merited that work of the Holy Spirit to work in sinners. And because of him, there will be those, and there have been those, who are born again, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And because of thee, there are sinners who run after thee, who long for thee, wait for thee, hunger for thee, thirst for thee. O Lord, wilt thou yet give food by thy word, by the gospel tonight, for poor and needy sinners? Thou art that almighty God. Thou can give blessings after even the sacrament through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pass us not by, Lord. We beg and pray thee that thou would remember then the whole congregation, all those who did not attend. Oh, may they see that if they cannot attend, that they are not also prepared to die and to meet thee. May they not be comfortable, but may there be that urgency in their hearts and in their souls. Oh, may they be those beggars, become beggars, as that publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and that they may cry out unto thee, Lord, teach me, show me, guide me, lead me, take me by heart and hand, and lead me in that way of everlasting life. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember then the whole congregation. Oh, remember those poor and needy sinners, waiting, looking, longing. Oh, wilt thou yet visit them tonight by thy word and by thy spirit? And Lord, thou wilt work in the heart of a sinner, and they will be born again, and they will flee because of thy drawing grace unto thy dear Son. He will be revealed unto them. And Lord, yet they have such a pathway to go, because they must press on, as we hope to consider tonight from thy precious word. Oh, they have not then yet entered into that celestial city. They may have no rest. Oh, bless thy word to the perseverance of thy dear children. Oh, they may have tasted blessings from above, and yet they need to carry on in this life. Oh, may some of them have tasted such riches, and they had to leave the table, and they had to go home. And in this week, they must carry on with their life. But how? Oh, may they be instructed by thy precious word, looking unto thee, depending upon thee, and yet persevering by thy grace and by the work of the Holy Spirit, running that race, as we will consider, as thou hast instructed in thy precious word. Lord, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, they need to flee out of that city of destruction like Christian. Oh, may it be so, Lord, by thy grace, and that they may cry out, life, life, eternal life, and that they may be directed unto that only gate, that wicked gate, that precious Savior. Lord, cause an urgency and draw unto thyself. And so we lay the whole congregation before thee with all the soul needs. Lord, take away the hearts of stone and give a heart of flesh, a teachable heart, a heart that's like Paul, that longs to know thee, that knows thee, and yet longs to know thee more. And he's not resting on anything, but he desires to be made more holy, to serve thee more. O Lord, we beg thee that thy people may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may long for thy honor, for thy glory, to have more sanctification. Oh, that they may be a light in this dark world for thy honor and glory, that they may hate sin more, and that they may love righteousness. Oh, give more holiness, more conforming unto the image of thy dear Son. Lord, it's thy work from the beginning. Thou wilt hold it, and thou wilt bring it to a perfect end. We have begun this service hearing that thou wilt never forsake the works of thine own hands. Oh, may that be comfort to poor and needy sinners. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted, all the mourning ones. Care for them. May we beg and ask thee that thou would thrust out more labors into thy vineyard. Lord, we pray, as thou hast said in thy word, that we are to pray unto thee, the Lord of the harvest. Lord, call men with thy grace and thrust them out. Call them by thy word and spirit, and that they must come forward. Oh, we beg thee in this coming year, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, wilt thou give that we may be gladdened by thy deeds? Lord, we're polluted as a denomination. Oh, we're sinful. We deserve nothing. Oh, give repentance. Give confession of sin. Give a turning unto thee and pour out those blessings upon us. Lord, we beg thee for thy name's sake, for the coming of thy kingdom, and for the future generation. O wilt thou call men and thrust them out, and that they may proclaim death in Adam and life in Christ. Remember the students, especially student Rosaboom, as he is called to speak an edifying word. Help him, Lord, be on his left, be on his right, and be that faithful one to an unfaithful one. Oh, may he be given to rest upon thee, and that thou would provide everything. Lord, we pray and beg thee, remember our nation. We have forsaken thee in paradise, but also as a nation. We were founded on Christian principles. Thy law was in the school. Thy word was heard in government, and we have cast thee out. And now also there's a desire also to make that law, where thy word may not be fully proclaimed freely according to thy will and to the meaning of the Spirit, calling sin, sin. And when sin doesn't become sin, then there's no room for the gospel. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give us that we may be busy on our knees, confessing our sin and crying unto thee, have mercy. Have mercy on this nation. Leave us not to ourselves, Lord, but yet that thou would have dealings with us. Oh, give a revival. Work mightily by thy word and spirit. Remember then also all our sins. We sin against all thy commandments. Oh, wilt thou give repentance? We sin against all the truths of thy word. Thou hast instituted marriage between one man and one woman. Thou knowest the sins. Thou hast created us male and female. And what a confusion that we are teaching our children. O Lord, we beg thee, have mercy. And all that blood that cries unto thee, Lord, in thy wrath remember mercy and give conviction of sin against all thy commandments, but also to protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. We pray and ask thee, remember Rehoboth Christian School as it comes in the following weeks to an end of another year. May we have broken and thankful hearts that thou hast provided again. Oh, the seed has been sown in the school. Our children, teenagers have heard. Oh, bless it. Oh, may there be many who have been born again, many who have received the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Remember the staff. Remember the grade 8 class also who hopes to graduate. And the following week also, grade 12. Oh, give that what they have been instructed from thy word, that they may remember and live accordingly by thy grace. Remember the education and the teaching of our children in our homes. Bless it, Lord. Bless the reading of thy precious word. Give faithful fathers according to the oath that we have made unto thee, that we have promised as fathers and mothers to raise our children to the utmost of our power. O Lord, we grieve when we hear that there are those who do not faithfully open thy word, read thy word, and search the scriptures. O give repentance. Give that thy word may be opened and blessed, that our homes may be little churches, little worship services. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember all the needs of the congregation. Thou knowest also the desire that there would be a building for the whole congregation, that we may all gather together with all our children. Lord, the hearts of those who need to give permission and permits are in thy hands, and we read in thy word that thou can move the hearts of kings like rivers of water. Lord, if it is in thy favor, wilt thou move their hearts, and that we may receive what is necessary to be able to provide for the whole congregation. Lord, we beg thee then in this evening, gather with us, give opening to proclaim thy word, opening of the ears to hear. Oh, may we proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that they may listen. It's a message from the Almighty God. Give minds to understand, enlighten dark minds, Lord, to the truth of who we are, of who thou art, and of that only way of salvation, and give hearts to receive thy word. Oh, wilt thou prepare hearts, that it may be like well-prepared soil, that the seed sown may bring forth fruit of true repentance and faith. Lord, there's no hope and expectation in us. May we together look unto thee, sigh unto thee, that thou would come among us. Oh, thou hast poured out water upon the earth in creation. May we thank thee for this blessing. But oh, may it be that thou would pour out the water upon the dry ground, floods upon dry ground, and waters upon the thirsty. May it be tonight, we beg thee, for thy honor, for thy glory, and the salvation of sinners, and the edification of thy dear people. Lord, we beg thee, we have no rights, we're sinful, we're polluted, we're one mass of sin, and we could be righteously passed by, but we beg thee, for thy name's sake, and for the name of thy dear Son, in whose name we pray and ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 297, all three stanzas. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good, his mercy still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. He has redeemed his captive saints from adversaries' hands, has gathered them and brought them back in peace from hostile lands. 297, all three stanzas in the collections, is for the church and the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, in this evening in the reflection sermon, we will focus on an illustration of the Christian given by Paul. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote about a true Christian as a soldier, but also as an athlete in various different scriptures. The Christian is not only a soldier, but he's also an athlete. He's called to run a race, to persevere. Paul compares the life of a true child of God to one who is running a race, to an athlete. Is this really true? Open your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we read in verse 24 of how Paul describes and gives an exhortation to all the children of God. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And then also in Hebrews, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. He again, the author of Hebrews, also repeats, as a Christian is referred to being in a race. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Congregation, by nature, none of us are in this race. And listen closely tonight. It's mostly focused on the children of God to persevere. Don't go home and say, the pastor told me just to enter that race and start running. That's not what the sermon will be about. If you're still lost, you need to be awakened like Christian. And you need to cry out, life, life, eternal life, and to leave the city of destruction. And you need to be directed to that wicked gate. But by nature, we're not a Christian soldier. We're enemies. We're fighting against God with our whole being. And by nature, we are not running this race that Paul speaks about. We are running the race of this world. We are only trying to gain the things of this world, and we live for our honor and for our glory. By nature, we are running from God and from that only Savior instead of running after Him. And we read in the Song of Solomon that prayer, draw me and I will run after thee. So it's by grace that a sinner is brought into this race that we will hear about. And also they need that continual drawing of the Holy Spirit to truly run after Him. And the poet in Psalm 119, verse 32, he also says, and I will run in the way of thy commandments. So when a sinner is born again, he is enrolled as a Christian soldier by the work of the Holy Spirit, or he's brought into this Christian race that we hear of. They leave, and may I say it simply, the rat race of this world, trying to gain everything for self, for your own honor, for your own glory, for the pleasure of your own flesh. And there comes a radical renewal in the whole being. And the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we hear in Matthew 16, verse 26, become real. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That was Christian, leaving the life of the city of destruction because he knew soul lost, all lost. A born-again sinner begins to live and to long to live for the glory of God and for the Savior, Jesus Christ. They begin to long for reconciliation. They long for their sins to be forgiven. And in the same heart, they long for sanctification. A Christian is a soldier. and he fights. A true Christian is in a race and he runs. They fight and they run. The Christian life is not just a short little sprint and then rest. Rest when you can go to the Lord's Supper, something accomplished, and the rest of the life is just rest. No, it's a lifelong race until the very end. They must fight and they must run. And by God's grace, a sinner becomes active, and by God's grace, he remains active. Active unto the moment of their death, fighting and running. There is no rest. There is no vacation in the life of a Christian. He needs to keep fighting, and he needs to keep running. And by God's grace, they are upheld. They're brought in and they're upheld. And yet by his grace, they're also made active. They are soldiers. They do fight and they do need to run. My friend, are you a true Christian? Have you been made a soldier? But are you also one who's running that race? Are you running that Christian race? Beloved, Church of God, you who have been born again, you who have entered through that gate, are you running? How are you running? I pray that by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit upon the word, it's a blessing for the whole congregation. And if you are not a Christian, if you're still lost, may you be awakened. And may you today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, made alive and begin to truly run that race. And if you are a true Christian, that you may be instructed. The word is profitable for all things, for correction, for admonishment, for comfort. But God's people also need to be instructed. They need to be instructed to be in that race and to run that race, to persevere. Persevere. Open your Psalter, please, because the sermon will mostly focus on perseverance to the fifth head of the Canons of Dort. Fifth head of the Canons of Dort, we will read Article 1 and 2 and page 112 in your Psalter. The fifth head, Article 1 and 2. Whom God calls, according to his purpose, to the communion of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and regenerates by the Holy Spirit, he delivers also from dominion and slavery of sin in this life, though not altogether from the body of sin and from the infirmities of the flesh, so long as they continue in this world. Hence springs daily sins of infirmity, and hence spots adhere to the best works of the saints, which furnish them with constant matter for humiliation before God and flying for refuge to Christ crucified, for the mortifying the flesh and more by the spirit of prayer and by holy exercise of piety and for pressing forward to the goal of perfection till being at length delivered from this body, they are brought to reign with the Lamb of God in heaven. So we see in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is the author. Paul is in Rome. And in Rome, they are there these games. He knows there's games, and he sees that, and he knows himself, and he pictures a true Christian as in a race. There are races. And Paul uses a metaphor of the Christian life as running a race. And we hear in Philippians 3 verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Philippians read this letter, they received it, and they understood what Paul was speaking about. They also knew about these games and running a race. But what is Paul instructing? What is Paul instructing his people of how and how they must run this race? Well, with the Lord's help, we will consider what we read in the precious word of God in Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Listen, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So far from God's precious word. The theme is running the Christian race. Running the Christian race. Child of God, you must press on. You must press on. You must win this race. You must. And there's four important aspects in these verses which Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses this metaphor to instruct God's children in this example of one who runs a race. So four thoughts tonight. First, a self-awareness. We see that in verse 12, a self-awareness. Not as though I had already attained, either were already a perfect. Paul has a self-awareness, and that's so necessary. A humble self-awareness for the church of God in this race. So that's the first thought, a self-awareness. Second, a determination. Verse 12, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. And then verse 14, I press toward the mark. So we hear in this, Paul has a determination. How does he have this? What is it? We'll explain it from Scripture. So, a determination. Third, a goal. Paul has a goal, as we read in verse 13. One thing, one goal. What is it? What is it to be, Church of God? What are you to focus on in that race? And last, he looks to the reward. May they? Should they? Should they look to the reward? What is the reward? What do they look for? What would the Lord give them? So a reward, we see this in verse 14. So, running the Christian race. A self-awareness, a determination, a goal, and a reward. And so, our first thought. So in our imagination, we see a Colosseum in Rome where many participants are running a race. And each one needs to be in very good physical condition. We understand that, right, children? If you have a race at school, you need to be in good condition. So physical, to be able to run in that race to win. But they also need to be in a proper frame of mind. They need to be thinking clearly. He cannot have the thought, no matter what, I will win. Well, then he won't focus. He won't focus, and he probably will not win. Or the opposite, if he's thinking, it's absolutely impossible. I will never win this race. And so we see that each physical runner, in a physical race reality, he needs to be with a proper thought. But now let's take that over to the church of God, to the sheep, to a true believer. Each one of them must have a self-awareness. A self-awareness that's to know of who they are. What do they need to understand? First, they have not crossed. They have not crossed that finish line. They must press on. You must be aware, church of God, of who you are and of where you are. Where you are in this race that God, with his free and sovereign grace, has put you in. Paul knew where he was. He knew who he was. He knew where he was. What do we read in verse 12? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul is saying, I have not reached the finish line. I have not attained. He has a healthy, humble self-awareness. He's saying to himself, I need to keep running. I have not become what I should be. I am not perfect. I must continue. I must press on. I am not completely conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm still so sinful. I'm so carnal. I need so much more sanctification. But Paul had participated numerous times in the Lord's Supper. But Paul does not rest in that. He doesn't rest in that act. He had many blessings, I'm sure, sitting under the shadow of that apple tree, and he was fed. But Paul yet says, listen, not as though I had already attained. Let's ask Paul, what have you not already attained? What are you speaking about? He gave the answer, for example, in Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. Paul expresses that I may know him. Paul, don't you know him? Paul knows him. But Paul understands that the life of a Christian is to know Jesus Christ and to know him more and to know him more. He is saying, I know him. I know something about him, but I only know a little bit. I need to know much more. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been conformed only a small little beginning in my life. But I long to know him more, to be more conformed to him, to know him more, to have a closer relationship with that Savior. And Church of God, dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, there is so much more to know about that Savior. I think of the book Isaac Ambrosi, Looking Unto Jesus. You start to begin to read that book and how much God has given that man light to write about all the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you start to begin to read and you feel, do I even know him? I only know such a little about him that I may know him. Paul desires to know more of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In his life, he desires more power to fight against temptations, to resist sin, to live for the glory of God. He desires more power in his being. Not only that he was made alive by the resurrection, but he longs to also know the joy of the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we also read in that meditation at the end of Philippi, to press on, to know more of the joy of the gospel. Paul desires to be conformed more. I know him, but that I may be conformed more to live as him, to live as that Savior, to serve him, to obey him, to follow him more and more. This is the heart of a true Christian in that race that Paul explains and gives as an example. Paul has a humble self-awareness. Is this your life? And so Paul says, and he continues in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul knows he's absolutely not perfect. And God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He knows he only has a little small beginning, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. But he longs. He longs to be made perfect. He desires to be perfect. Why? So that he was a great Christian? So that his name could be written on books? That Paul, people would speak about him? No, so that he could serve him and his whole being. He has a self-awareness of not being perfect, so much sin. Open your Bible to Matthew 5. There we read of a command of the Lord Jesus Christ about perfection. Matthew 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Who's writing this? Not this command, that's the Lord Jesus. But who's writing Philippians 3? It's Paul. Who is Paul? Paul has probably been a Christian for 20 or 25 years. And when we read what he writes, what a Christian he was. You would say from all the saints that he was the most holy saint. And Paul, he gives this exhortation to run the race. Paul has a humble self-awareness, and he knows what he needs. He cannot rest. He needs to keep running. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Beloved, if this is true for Paul, is this not true for you and for me? Is this not true? Oh, how true it is. How we need to be in that race, to run that race with a healthy self-awareness. And now an athlete in a race, he cannot stop. He cannot take a rest. He needs to keep running. He needs to keep going. And children of God, Paul lays before you. No, God lays before you tonight that exhortation, that command to run that race. You must keep running. You need to be covered. You need to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not perfect yet. Not perfect at all. Not completely sanctified. But you must be completely sanctified. You need to be completely conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be made completely pure. You must run the race to win. You need to have a humble self-awareness of who you yet remain to be. Remain to be. That we need Him, depending upon Him, upon His grace, and upon the Holy Spirit. And what teachings do we not need continually? Not that we have attained anything, but that I have not attained, and that I am not yet perfect, to press on. So that's the first thought. Second, running the Christian race with a determination to press on. Children, when someone runs a race, why do they run the race? They have a determination. You look at the other people running and you are determined. You need to run. Use all your energy, all your strength, all your energy, because you're going to use all your might to cross that line before anyone else. You need to cross the finish line. And now Paul gives an illustration of the Christian life. He says in verse 12, "But I follow after." In verse 14, "I press toward the mark." Remember, he's given a metaphor, an example of an athlete. He is saying, Paul, that with all his energy, with all his strength, with all his spiritual nerve and muscle, he needs to follow after. He is going to press towards the mark until he crosses the finish line. Paul has an inner determination. Who has that? Why does Paul have this? Is it just saying you need to make a decision and have this determination? Who has this? No man by nature. But what child of God has this inner determination that Paul is speaking about to press on, to press towards the mark? They receive it and are upheld continually by the grace of the ascended Savior and by the Spirit. Listen to what we read in Philippians 2 verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Paul has this inner determination by the grace of God. And then he says, follow after. What does that mean? What does that word mean? What is Paul saying, follow after? In Greek, it's a very interesting word. There's a word in verse 6 that comes from the same root word, persecuting. Really? Follow after and persecuting? They're related? Listen. Paul is saying, follow after. That's to use all your energy, all your strength, all your focus, to do your utmost, absolute utmost. And now what was Paul? Paul was a persecutor. He was a persecutor of the church. He was using all his strength, all his energy, his utmost power to capture Christians. So it's in that word, in persecution, in the root, in Greek. He was using everything. That was his life, as we read. He was breathing out threatenings. That was his life, just to capture, to persecute Christians. But now, by God's grace, Paul has been absolutely, radically, completely renewed. And he's running, if I may say it that way, in the absolute opposite direction. Instead of persecuting Jesus Christ and his church, he's following after. He's using all his energy and his strength, his spiritual whole being, to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a true believer is to be born again, to be in that race, and to be running that race with a self-awareness, but also with a determination. Determination. And then when we see that verb, follow after, it's active. No, it's not passive. It's not Paul has become active, that he has followed after. No, it's active. That means that's his life, the rest of his life, following after. Paul is not a passive Christian resting on something that happened or resting on going to the Lord's Supper. No, he's active. He's fighting the good fight of faith. He's running the race. He's pressing on. May I ask you, are you a true child of God? Are you a soldier? Are you in that race? Have you been made with much reverence a spiritual athlete? Are you in that race? Are you following after? Are you longing to know him, to follow him, to serve him? Have you left the world, sin, Satan, and you fight against your flesh? You want to serve only that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? May I ask you this way? What are you using? Your energy, your strength, your time, what's your focus? Is it all on self, the world, or is it only on him and on his kingdom? So Paul continues in this verse, in verse 12, if that I may apprehend. What does that word mean? If I may take hold of. Paul is speaking, if I may take possession of, if I may take hold of. Paul is expressing he wants to take hold of that precious Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying, I want to take hold of him. I want to be closer to him. I want to be near him. I want to know him more. I want to become like him more. But he continues in that verse. Listen, in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either was already made perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So we hear two times the word apprehend. He's speaking about that he longs to apprehend, and he's looking back of being apprehended. What is he saying? What is he saying? What is his determination in this phrase, in this verse? Paul is looking back. When he was on that road to Damascus, following after, persecuting the Christians, dead in sins and trespasses, a lost Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he's thinking back to that moment where the Lord Jesus Christ regenerated him irresistibly by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ took hold of him, apprehended him. On the road to Damascus, he was not seeking him at all. He was not seeking that Savior. He was not seeking to do his will. Paul was living dead in sins and trespass. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he found him. He renewed it. He apprehended. Paul was determined to follow after, determined to apprehend Christians, to kill them, to put them to death. But instead, the Lord Jesus Christ found him, apprehended him, took a hold of him. Arrested Paul by his grace, made him a completely new being. I was apprehended of Christ. And the consequence of that, out of that grace received of being apprehended, he longs to apprehend Christ. He is determined to take hold of him because he cannot live without him. He wants to hold him every day. He wants to be like Mary at his feet, to be instructed. Oh, how true it is, as John has written in 1 John 4, verse 19, We love him because he first loved us. This is Paul's new life. He was apprehended, and now he longs to follow after, to apprehend. That's his life. Paul begins his day with opening the Bible, to reading the Word of God. He begins on his knees. It's when he's walking and talking. It's everything a part of his life. His whole life was one thing, to know him, to apprehend him. He didn't compartmentalize his life and say, this is for the Lord and this is for Paul. No, his whole life had one determination. One determination to take hold. To take hold of that precious Savior, because he could not live without him. Is that your life? Is that how you live? With a determination to take hold of him. Is this true in your life? Have you been apprehended? Have you been regenerated by that precious Savior? And out of that grace received, you long to take hold of him. You can't live out without him. Are you following after him? As that heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my heart for thee, O living God. Paul has an inward determination. What did he say in this chapter? In verse 8 and 9. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of what, Paul? Of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul was apprehended, and he desires to apprehend him. He's following hard after him. My friend, what are you living for? What's your goal? What's your determination? But may I ask you also, Church of God, how are you living? You were brought into this race, but how are you living? Are you living with a self-awareness? But are you also living with this determination? Can you confess as David in Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Is that your life? That's how it should be. How it should be. Let's sing of that. Psalter 163. Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. 163, stanzas 1 and 3. running the Christian race, a humble self-awareness, but also determination, as we heard in that song, that longing to be under the shadow of his wings. And when they can sit there and enjoy those fruits, they feel so miserable. And yet, they have a goal. They have a goal. An athlete has a goal. He has one single goal. He presses on with one goal. An athlete runs the race to win. To win. His eye is on the future. His eye is on the prize. Paul sees, he knows those runners. And they have a goal. Paul, as a Christian himself, is running that race with one single goal. As we read in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul doesn't say he has many things to do, but he's focusing on one thing. The true Christian, the children of God, is focused. They're focused on one thing, one goal. He cannot be focused on two things. No. In the past, maybe he could be in church on Sunday and the rest of the week in the world. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. But now he can't live that way. He cannot serve two masters. He has one goal, one single desire. He says no to everything that would be a hindrance for him to obtaining the goal, to running that race. He cuts it all off, and he cuts it off, and he cuts it off. And he says, yes, he wants to know the will of God. He wants to know what he desires. And he says, yes, to everything that would be a blessing to obtain the goal. He's like David in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What's the heart of Paul? What is he explaining? What is his goal? What is his desire? He said in another epistle that he will not glory in anything, but he will only glory in what? His conversion? The blessings? No, he has come to a place that he will only glory in one thing, in the cross of Christ. In the cross of Christ, he knows he needs to be in him. He knows he needs to be covered with his righteousness. He knows he needs to be washed by his blood. He needs justification. He needs sanctification. He has one goal. How does Paul run this race with one goal, with one thing? Well, we read, continuing in verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Have you ever seen children, someone running a race, looking behind or looking at their feet? You say that cannot be a good runner. They'll fall or they'll trip or they will not run. They can't. They look forward. They look forward to the goal. He looks forward. He cannot look backwards. Paul looks forward. Forgetting, what does that mean? He's forgetting means to dismiss from his mind. He doesn't focus on anything on the past anymore. He goes forward. Do you hear it? Go forward. Press on that one goal. One goal. What is Paul saying? Forgetting those things behind, where we read many times, he remembers where the Lord found him and how the Lord had saved him. Is that what he's saying? Forget all that the Lord has done. No, he's not. He's speaking about forgetting what was his hope and his life before God saved him. His former hope was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And that is not his hope anymore. His hope was in the works of the law, salvation by works. But that all has come to death. Everything of his past hope and life when he was dead, it's all done. He can't place any hope. He focuses on one goal. He focuses on one thing, and that is on Jesus Christ and to be clothed with him, to be conformed to his image. He doesn't glory in anything of self anymore, as we read also in Philippians 3. And we read in verse 7, Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count the loss for Christ. For loss for Christ, he counts it all done. All, everything of the past, it's all done. He has one goal, the glory of the cross and of Christ. Paul, he's not home yet. That's what he knows. He has one goal. He wants to be brought home. Church of God, you're not home yet. You're still in this world. You still have flesh. And Paul says he reaches forth to those things which are before. He presses towards the mark. An athlete leans forward. He does everything. Everything in his strength to go forward. And the Christian, in this metaphor, is called to go forward until he crosses the finish line. What is ahead for the Christian? What's ahead? Oh, there's so many things to mention. So many things. They need to die more to self. They need to lose more and more in self to find more and more in Christ. They need to decrease that he increases. They need to be made more holy in their thoughts, in their words, in their deeds. They need to serve him more, love him more, follow him more, deny self more. To love him, to live for the glory of him. My friend, are you in this Christian race, or are you still dead in sins and trespasses, running a completely different race, serving Satan, self, the world? Or have you been made alive? How are you running the race, children of God? Do you have a self-awareness? Do you have that determination? And do you have that one goal? That one goal to live for the glory of God, for his name, for his sake alone. How does a Christian do this? How does he do this? Does he do this in his own strength? Absolutely not. Let's read again Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Listen. And let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. And now listen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How are they to run? Looking to him, depending upon him, needing him. That's how they are called to run that race, with the goal looking to him. But a few words on the reward. No athlete enters a race and says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I win. That's not a dedicated athlete. He doesn't have a determination. He doesn't have a goal. And he doesn't take anything along that would cause him to be weighed down. No, he gets rid of all extra weight. Why? Because he wants the reward. He wants the prize. He presses on. Paul illustrates that his Christian life is to be running that race to get the reward. Is this correct? Should children of God be looking to the reward? Should they think about the reward? Isn't that self-centered? No. Open your Bible to Hebrews 11. We read about Moses. What did Moses do? He left Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Why? What do we read in verse 26? Hebrews 11, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto recompense of the reward. He looked to the future. Church of God, look to the future. Look to that reward. Look to what's coming. That gives Paul energy, may I say it that way? That gives him power in his heart. He longs to receive the reward. And so he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? What's the reward? What is he longing for? What's the high calling of God? It's speaking of upward. It's speaking of heaven. Paul is looking to coming home. He's looking to heaven. What does Paul want? What do those Christians in that race long for? What do they long for? They long to cross the finish line. What's the finish line? That's an explanation of death. Death is to be delivered from sin, Satan, hell, and all the assaults of Satan, to be forever delivered from it all, and to be received by Christ. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for them, and I say there is much of it. He's waiting for his sheep to finish to cross the finish line. He's waiting for them. He said that in his prayer in John 17, verse 24. He has a longing that they would be with them where he is to behold his glory. He's longing for them to come to the time where they'll be delivered, to come home. But what is their reward? What do they really long for? What will the Lord do? Well, we read something in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So in one way, we can never ever explain it. It's going to be so great, so absolutely precious, that no eye has seen or no ear hath heard, never entered into the heart of man. We can't even imagine of that great reward that he has for his beloved people. God sovereignly saves them. He chose them. He renews them. And he's conforming them to the image of his Son. But what is the Christian's goal and reward? What is his longing? To be like Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal of the Father, that they would be conformed completely to the image of his Son. And that becomes the goal and the longing, the reward, to be made Christ-like. Why? Because he's holy in his whole being. He can serve his Father. He can do his will, never ever to sin. That becomes their longing. That becomes the reward. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What a thought. What a thought to be like him. That means you'll be pure in your whole being. That's what it is. Holiness, pure. The psalmist said in Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. Satisfied. No more hunger. No more want. Completely filled when I awake. With what? With thy likeness. That's the reward. That's the future. In this life, they need to fight. They need to run. But then they will enter when they cross the finish line. And when they then will enter into glory with their soul. And later in the future, when he returns, then they will rise from the dead, and body and soul we will be together, Christ-like, holy, forever able to serve him. And so shall ever be with the Lord, and they shall see his face. What a future. What a future for the church. Do you hear what you're missing? What you're missing? Oh, may the Lord work in your heart, you who are dead in sins and trespasses, and that you may be awakened today like Christian and cry out, life, life, eternal life. And that you may cry out, what must I do? Where must I go? And that God may give his servants to point you of the way of repentance and faith through that precious gate, Jesus Christ and Church of God. You heard a few words. Perseverance of the saints. God will have his people persevere. And they are in that race by him, made active by him, and kept by him. And they will be brought home. But you must press on, looking to him, longing for him. How will any sinner ever enter this race? By grace, as Paul. How will they continue this race? By grace, as Paul. He said, I am what I am by the grace of Paul. Paul had no expectation in self. And yet he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O thou knowest those among us, many yet dead in sins and trespasses, only living for this world, running after all the things to try to satisfy their flesh. Oh, we beg thee that thou would awaken them, that thou would renew them, that thou would translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And remember all thy dear people. Oh, what an exhortation we have heard tonight. Oh, how we need a continual self-awareness, and how we need thy grace to give us that determination to live for thee, for thy honor, for thy glory. But oh, wilt thou also give that we may be given that grace to look forward to that reward. Oh, fill our hearts with hunger and thirst to serve thee, to be able to forever be free from all sin, all flesh, and to be with thee. Lord, bless thy word and sacrament that was also administered in this morning. And may we acknowledge thee at the end of this time in thy house for thy help. Without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. Give that we may take thy word with us and that we may meditate upon us. Help the elders in the coming Lord's Day. Give traveling mercies. Bring us back again to be together as one flock, pastor and sheep. Lord, look upon us in mercy. We pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us close now in singing from Psalter 408. 408, all three stanzas. Ye who is temple throng, Jehovah's praise prolong, new anthems sing, ye saints with joy declare, your Maker's loving care, and let the children there joy in their King. 408, all three stanzas. your congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.